Well, West Australian Premier Roger Cook has met with the Prime Minister at Parliament House as the fight to secure his state's GST deal ramps up. Currently, WA keeps at least 75 cents for every dollar of GST revenue, and the WA Premier wants to keep it that way. Roger Cook joins me in the studio in Canberra this morning. Premier, welcome to Parliament House and welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you, Sally. Thank you for having me.
How would you assess your meeting with the PM yesterday?
Well, we had a range of meetings yesterday, including with the Prime Minister. The government remained supportive of Western Australia's fair share of the GST. Remembering no other state surrenders 25% of its take of the GST to the other states.
Are you concerned?
Well, look, we know that we have to be present in the debate. The debate continues either through the commentators or through other governments around the country. So it's important that we make sure that we send the message what's good for Western Australia's economy is good for the national economy. We are the biggest contributor to the nation's GDP.
Are you creating a two-tier system for state governments in Australia with almost the West and the rest, if you like?
Well, we understand what an important role we play. Western Australia represents 45% of the nation's exports. So even though we just represent 11% of the population, we understand that we have a unique role to play in the national economy, making sure that we develop the economic infrastructure that creates the industries that produces the significant contribution to the national tax take.
Not everyone agrees that the GST carve-up is fair. This is a bit of what independent economist Sol Eslake told the program yesterday.
We're talking about the richest state in Australia, richer than the rest of the country by a bigger margin than New South Wales or Victoria ever were when they were the richest states in Australia through the 20th century. And it's all because between the 2016 and 2025 elections, Western Australia in effect held the balance of power in the Federal House of Representatives, and both sides of politics were desperate to retain or regain WA seats in Parliament, so they caved in to what was in effect blackmail by Australia's richest states.
What do you think of those comments from Sol Eslake on Breakfast yesterday?
Well, I think they're a little disingenuous. What we do know is that Western Australia makes a significant contribution to the other states. Prior to the actual deal that was done to preserve our 75% floor of the GST share, we saw Western Australia's contribution to the other states reach almost 90%. That is, we just retained 11% of our GST takings. Now, in WA, we utilise that revenue to ensure that we can develop the economic infrastructure, create the sort of frameworks and the regulation for the industry, which ultimately pays significant resources to the Commonwealth and other states through company tax and other measures.
So Eslake's argument was that it was actually private industry that was providing a lot of that infrastructure.
Well, they do make their contribution, but we provide the utilities, the water, the roads, the port infrastructure. We continue to make sure that we can encourage industry, and we don't want to be disincentivized for actually doing the right thing by the country, that is developing our economic infrastructure, which creates the industry, which produces the prosperity that the country all depends on.
You're listening to Radio National Breakfast. My guest this morning in the studio is WA Premier Roger Cook. Is the $1 million you're spending on advertising in the other states to protect this deal amid this review by the Productivity Commission, is it a good use of taxpayer funds?
Well, it's $1 million out of what would be essentially $6 billion which would be torn out of our state each year if we didn't have the current deal in place. And we understand that it's important for Western Australia's voices to be heard. And often we find that it's difficult to get our voices heard on the East Coast. But this is also a campaign we're going to run in Western Australia to make sure that Western Australians have an opportunity to make a public submission to the Productivity Commission. We think there's a whole range of measures that need to be addressed as part of the reforms for the GST arrangements.
You and your Treasurer, Rita Saffiotti, also met with Environment Minister Murray Watt yesterday to talk about the government's environmental reforms. What did that meeting achieve? What came out of that?
Well, can I first of all just say, look, I commend Minister Watt for the approach and the manner in which he's undertaken the government's work to develop a consensus around the EPBC Act reforms. And we can encourage industry and have a proper regulation of industry while protecting the environment. And I believe we can do this. We have obviously met with the environmental groups and with our big resource companies and other members of our industry in Western Australia all the time. They're encouraged by the progress that's being made. Obviously, there's still elements of the legislation that they want to see addressed, but I think there's a great sense of consensus and collaboration at the moment to see if we can find that space which creates the balance between encouraging industry but also protecting the environment.
Your government has recently come under pressure from major international mining companies to reconsider your effective ban on uranium mining to meet the global appetite for minerals used in renewable energy. Is it something that you're open to considering?
Look, we're focused on Western Australia's contribution to the clean energy transition and making sure that we can really enliven and activate the huge solar and wind resources that we have in Western Australia so we can become a renewable energy powerhouse, not only decarbonising our economy, but decarbonising the economies of our Southeast trading partners. That's our priority at the moment, and we're not looking at any shift in policy in relation to uranium mining.
What do you think federally, with the National Party at the national level rejecting and scrapping support for net zero by 2050?
Well, I think that they are failing the big moral challenge of our time, and that is making sure that we're all contributing towards a reduction of global emissions. And this is a mission that we're fundamentally committed to. I talk all the time to our Southeast trading partners, I would, as the most trade-exposed state economy in the country, and they were all talking about the role that Australia can play in helping them reduce their emissions, retiring out of coal, making sure that we can introduce new fuels like blue and ammonia and blue hydrogen, but ultimately green fuels. We can't do that if we're going to dilly-dally and essentially fail to meet the challenges of today, which ensures that we can reach the goal of net zero emissions by 2050.
How concerned would you be if the Liberal Party also goes the same way as the Nats on net zero?
Well, I'd be very concerned. I mean, obviously, what this means is that the Liberal Party and the Nationals are starting to continue to vacate that mainstream part of the Australian political community, which is the concern that everyone has about global emissions and climate change. And they're quite frankly just starting to retreat to the extremes of the political spectrum. They need to come back to the centre, represent the communities that have already always relied on them to represent their views in the mainstream political debate. And I think we should all get round the joint globally consensus position of reaching net zero emissions by 2050.
How can WA put itself forward as responsible and progressive on environmental issues and the transfer over to renewable sources when we've seen things like destruction of sensitive sites in Juukan Gorge, also the North West Shelf extension as well, which there's been a lot of criticism. Do you have the credentials there?
Well, look, I think everyone recognises the anxieties that exist around fossil fuels at the moment. But certainly when it comes to LNG, it's going to continue to play an important role in the transition to clean energy. I talked to our friends in Japan, one of our largest trading partners. They say we need your LNG now so we can retire old coal-fired power stations.
They're also
now
selling it on.
Well, indeed, as part of a transition in other countries as well. And that's why we need to continue to rely upon gas now and blue as we transition to blue and green fuels into the future. But we can't simply switch gas off. It's going to play an important role, not only for our energy security, but the energy security of our trading partners.
Roger Cook, good to see you in the studio today. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time, Sally.
Roger Cook is the Premier of Western Australia.